sensation as the podcast.
Oh yeah, thank you. I like plugged it all in there on my computer. Isn't that great?
The first one has the title. It says pilot, and the second one doesn't. Are we gonna plug in the title of it? No.
Sure.
Okay. For me.
Okay. Whatever. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Proud Women Pod. This is episode 102 according to Netflix, but it's episode 3 technically. We're just hanging out, going to talk all things Offspring today. Christina?
Yes, hi.
Anything new?
No, nothing really new, nothing really exciting.
Last week we were really excited about hamburgers.
I mean, I'm always excited about hamburgers, let's be honest. Yeah.
I will have to say that you got us dinner, and I tried your fantastic, I call it the Jessica Special, Zoe's Kitchen Bowl.
It's delicious.
And it was amazing. And
so should we tell them what it is?
Because I don't know what I just ate.
Okay, so it's a cauliflower. Zoe's Jessica Duke's Daily Ketosis is my Instagram page, personal Instagram page. I love you. but so it's the Zoe's cauliflower rice bowl with salmon, and I get it with no cheese, so it's dairy free. And then the sauces on the side, and I usually use what's the green sauce?
I don't know. I dumped them both and mixed it all in with the rice.
Whatever,
and
then, not the tzatziki sauce.
Right. And then I get, so this is clutch. I do the keto diet, which is low carb, high fat, high protein, medium protein rather. But I get extra cucumbers in it. Christina, remember this. So you can use the cucumbers as little crackers.
Oh, that's a great idea.
For your cauliflower rice and your salmon. And it's, and the cauliflower rice is cold, so people go crazy.
See, that threw me
over this. On my Instagram page.
Yeah. I liked it.
They're like, what? It was cold? And I'm like, I just think about it as like a cold salad. But like most people, I don't think expect it.
I prepared for that. I think if I had like really known it going in, and I haven't given it another try since the day that I had it, but I was like, because I cook my cauliflower rice. I like to make a cauliflower stir fry. Like, I love cauliflower. People make jokes about how it's like the new, you know,
kale.
You know, everything is cauliflower. It's, you have no friends, only cauliflower. Everything is cauliflower. Yeah. But I love cauliflower.
I get you.
You have, it's really, I'll send it. It's a meme, guys, because I'm cool. I'll send it to you.
I've always loved cauliflower and broccoli.
I've never really loved cauliflower that much. I've always preferred broccoli, but I've really learned how to, like, manipulate it and cook with it well. Mm-hmm. So now it's my, although granted, I'm not into cauliflower crust pizza. Making my own.
Have you had the one from Trader Joe's?
I haven't. It's a little too carby for me.
Oh.
But
I have one in my freezer.
But the kids on Nanny like it. Uh-huh. So,
yeah.
I just like the cauliflower raw, washed.
Mm-hmm. The little boy that I nanny for, Balin, he will eat handfuls of frozen cauliflower rice. When he was a baby, he would eat handfuls of
plain cauliflower with salt.
Yeah. I got a really cool mix. I haven't eaten it yet, but a mix from, I can't remember if I was at a Trader Joe's or if I got it from Kroger, but it has cauliflower, broccoli, and something else. It has like several riced vegetables all in like a stir fry pack.
I got that because I couldn't find the cauliflower rice one night. And I made Brad's cauliflower mac and cheese with that.
Oh, okay.
It's good.
Cool. Yeah, see, I really like it because I take my lunch to work a couple days a week, and I like to take uncooked cauliflower rice and then, like, a chicken sausage and, like, a handful of fresh, like, mushrooms and peppers and onions, and then I just stir-fry it all in the pan at work.
Yeah.
And it takes, like, 5 minutes, and then I have a fresh hot, like, I don't cook it beforehand because then it's, like, I mean, reheated, it's still fine, but I'm like, it doesn't take any longer to cook it fresh, and then it's fresh.
Right.
You know what I
mean? And you're a nanny, so you can do that.
Right, I know. They're always like, when are you going to eat your lunch? I'm like, when you're not next to me, go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Go to bed, so I can eat my lunch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jessica.
Yeah. Anything you got going on besides cauliflower rice?
Mm-mm. No, there's a lot of cauliflower rice in my life. life is good. Nothing to complain about. I have plans this weekend. A friend that wrote a cookbook, is coming to Nashville for her book tour.
Fun.
So nice. I'm going to go there and meet some of my keto friends.
Where's she doing her?
Peace, Love, and Low Carb is her Instagram handle. Kendra Holly is her name, and she is doing it at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, fun. Oh. Which one?
And her book is Craveable Keto. Y'all should come with me.
Cool.
Yeah.
When is this?
I like book signing.
7 o'clock on Saturday night.
Oh, and apparently. Any local Nashville? This might not be out in time.
Huh?
We won't plug it because it's probably not going to be out in time, but we're sure it was a great event.
It's great. It was awesome. We had a great time. Several people have asked me if I'm going to be there, so yep, I'm going to be there. I was there. It was fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Are you confused? I'm confused. Sydney, yeah. What do you got going on?
Not really anything, I don't think.
Have you been to Whataburger yet?
No.
Yeah.
I love Whataburger.
Where's the one?
The closest one is in Birmingham.
Maybe we need to take a road trip.
I mean, yeah, I think so. Honestly, like, a friend and I, it's going to have to wait until after March because I ain't shoving Whataburger down my face during diet, but...
True.
Like,
I'm hosting, so guys, okay, first, I'm hosting a diet bet on Daily Ketosis, which is my Instagram, and Sydney has signed up, and so she's going to win her money back, so she can't go to Whataburger. Well, she can, but then she'll
I totally can, but then you have to run worth home. It.
Yeah, I did not sign up because I'm going to Disney, and I heard that there is Dole Whip in the hotel I'm staying in, and so my goal is to have Dole Whip for breakfast. For lunch at the park, and for dinner, and possibly a midnight snack if they're still open.
I support you. I know, I have a friend coming in town the first weekend in March, and I'm like, well, we're gonna just, you know, start real high, because, like, ain't no way we're not drinking excessively when he's in town.
Well, you can make up for it.
Don't worry, I'll just do my, I mean, I've already been doing, like, 2 workouts, so
just, delete me for a few days so I'm not like, hey, Sydney, are you working out? Are you eating right? You can be like, hey, Jessica, not talking.
You should do the travel beer tavern thingy, so at least you're working out while you're drinking.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Don't even, like...
Those things are... I hate those things.
The pedal taverns... I mean, if it wasn't illegal, I would light them all on fire so nobody could ever get on them
ever
again.
And they have John Deere tractors down. Nashville is such a tourist.
It's trashy.
And it's such. It's like.
You can ride in the back of a damn boat. Sorry, is this the first time I've ever sworn on this podcast? I don't know.
It's expensive.
You can ride in the back.
We talked about mine.
Wait, they used to have those duck boats in town, though, when I first moved to Nashville.
Stop, shut the front door.
They used to have duck boats. I remember that.
That's better than the John Deere tractor.
Who wants to ride in the Cumberland?
A lot of people apparently fell.
No,
so
I'm talking like the. It's called the party barge. It's like just a boat.
Oh, I want to ride one of those.
They've turned like a limo into a boat decor. I don't
know. Oh no, I've ridden a hearse for a ghost tour.
No,
Nashville.
No.
Yes, I have. It was awesome. We went to the cemetery.
Nashville is one big bachelor party after another. Bachelorette.
It's the worst.
Party. Yeah.
It's awesome, but it's also like...
I could tell you some stories. I work part-time for a property manager downtown, and that is 90% of their clientele during, like... I mean, we're heading into bachelorette season right now, and...
No.
I mean, the number of penis paraphernalia that I've had to clean out of apartments...
No, thank you.
I once had to remove a half-eaten... cake shaped like a penis wearing a cowboy hat.
No.
I also got a call from that bride because she took a picture with the groom of the next door. I don't think anything sketchy happened, but she took a picture for a part of a scavenger hunt. They were not connected in any way.
Okay.
But their rooms were, like, their apartments were right next to each other, and apparently her fiancé found out and was angry, and she gave him my number so that
what?
He could call me.
No.
And I could give him the information of the man that she took a picture with, and I was like, first of all, ma'am, why are you marrying this man if you're afraid of him?
Right.
Second of all, why would you give your scary fiancé my number?
Okay,
and third of all, why would I give scary fiancé the number for some other dude who didn't do anything except take
issues?
Luckily, he never actually called me, but she did text me a couple times. I'm like, ma'am, this is inappropriate.
Stop. Okay, speaking of bachelorette parties, this is a good way to start in the episode because Nina is tired.
Mm.
She walks in to the gas station and this darn girl.
Oh, slut.
I mean, I wrote in when I was taking notes, I would have reacted the same way as Nina. Like, shut up.
Oh, I hope it wouldn't have.
That girl burps out loud. I was like, at that point, you know how you kind of do that fake hurling reaction?
Yeah.
I did that, and I just wrote, oh my god, gross young people. And then I said, yes, sluts. I would have thought the same thing, except as Nina, I would have said, keep dressing like that, and I'll see you in 9 months, sluts. Then walk away, or maybe just think it because I'm as neurotic as Nina and wouldn't say it out loud. Or would I? I'm from the Midwest. I might.
Yeah. No. And they... Yeah, they look...
And then they're just, like, rude to her, too. That girl is like, do you only think that because you're old? Or like,
I know. And I'm like, she's not that much older than y'all.
No. You look older than her.
Yeah, and she's way cuter than y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they okay.
They
yeah.
look like they've went around the bush and hit a tree a couple of times.
More ways than one. As my mama would say, rode hard and put up wet.
Yes. Ew. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. So... Okay, yeah, yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah, those stupid, neurotic...
And then Nina is, like, freaking out about it, so she goes and talks to Kim, and let me... I think I have it queued up. Let's just listen
in. These girls, aren't you attracted to them?
No, I thought they were sluts.
How short were the skirts? What are we talking?
Short.
About the waterline.
What's that?
You know, the booge. The vajuts. Genevieve, the noonie, the squinch.
You know, so many words I've never heard before.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just a prude. No, I'm not. I mean, I don't think I am.
Yeah, right. This was a great conversation. Helen and Tim Sanderson.
all those words.
I've never heard any of those words before.
No.
What was she saying?
No, I think that was her own language. Because I was like, what is happening?
So I did a little Googling.
Of course you did. You Googled those words?
Well, I Googled, I was looking for, like, Australian slang. Because, you know, there are things like, so I watch a British reality show called The Only Way is Essex. That'll be my plug for today. It's so good. But their slang for, like, vagina is your nun or your ninny. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what she says at the end is the ninny, the ninny to squinch or whatever at the end. Anyways, but I'm like, I'm always curious because, like, I'm always, you know, Elliot on Scrubs called it the Bajingo. Like, there's the Lady Town. There's, like, everybody has, like, a name for it. Like,
what
a
did
pet
your
name.
Mom call? It's always from our moms.
In my family, this is so crazy. So when I was growing up, we always called it a tutu.
Okay, that's what a family I nannied for called it, a tutu. My mom called it a boom boom.
Oh, no. My mom just didn't call it anything.
Which is smart.
But my mom also, we renamed the period. We called it our thinky too.
No. Oh, no.
But why can't we just call it PC names like vagina? No one can say
for
some reason.
All my kids, that's what they call it, penis and vagina. Like, they're very analytical. We don't do anything.
Yeah, no, that's what I'll do with my kids too.
I don't know if my mom knew the words penis and vagina.
Well, English as a second language, that could have something to do with it.
That's true.
Well, I used to nanny for a little girl who calls all of the parts, all female parts, your hiney, your bottom,
okay.
Your jiny, your vagina, and your those, your boobs. And she would point with these little tiny pointer fingers, and she would whisper it. She would go, you know, your hiney and your jiny and your those. And she would point at mine.
The little boys I'm nanny for now, who are 12, when they were little, they called everything their fronty. Like, everything. And their dad was like, to their mom and me, like, they're going to get beat up in kindergarten if we don't tell them. Like, you know, everything is not called their fronty, but my boss has always called her vagina her tootie cat.
No.
Right. It's terrible. It's too much. But Brad, for some reason, it's caught on because I call it that now because, you know, because I've worked for them for 12 years. So Brad just thinks that's the universal nickname. And I'm like, no, we don't call, I mean, I call it a tootie now because of them. But that's not, like, you know, tootie is not short for vagina.
Yeah. My friends.
Anyway. I'm glad this is a medical show.
I mean, it really is. My nanny kid doesn't talk about, he's only two and a half, but he doesn't really talk about, like, female Yeah. Anatomy, well, but he does talk about, like, his penis all the time. Because this is, like, the big thing.
Well, he's the age.
Yeah, he's always, like, he's always talking about, he's like, oh, look at my big old penis.
Oh, my God.
Which is insane. He also refers to it as his dino penis sometimes.
Oh, my. Okay.
And then he also asked his grandfather the other day.
Penises do kind of look like a dinosaur.
Yeah. He asked his grandfather the other day if his penis was as fat as his dad's. So there's that.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. My friend's daughter, when she was learning how to talk and, like, learning all the different parts, she'd call him her Nibbles.
That's cute.
Because she couldn't say
Nibbles. Oh, so his older sister called Nibbles.
And
Nibbles.
She would, like, whip up your shirt and look under because she wanted to see your nibbles to see if they look like her nibbles.
Well, so a family I nannied for probably 15 years ago, which is telling my age, which who cares. But when he was, like, 3, I was giving him a bath, and he was super literal, and he propped his leg up on the bathtub and reached down, and he looked at me. He said, "Hey, Miss Jessica, this is called my scrotum." And I was like, "Gotcha, boy." Like, got it.
I know. My word.
They were a very PC family, which I appreciate, because we didn't have to say tootie cap.
So what is your favorite of all the slang terms that Kim throws out there? The water line, the booge. The vajits.
I like the booge and the vajits.
Yeah, me too.
I think
Genevieve.
I think we just need to decide on one of those, and that's what we tell our kids it is. You know, like, you start a new word with them. Like, none of us have children, but when we do, I mean, might as well give them an Australian.
Give them Australian names.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard some horror stories of people who refer to it as one thing, and then, like, that was a very, like, common phrase. And then they would get very embarrassed hearing it said in public. I don't know. I just, like,
I feel like, sticking with penis and vagina. Schools now versus schools back, like, when we were younger are so different.
Yeah,
and I feel like schools probably dictate to parents now what they tell their kids.
Yeah, I think so. Well, or, you know what, you can tell your kids one thing, but we're going to tell them another thing. So,
just
tell them they're going to be. So, the patient, we walk in, and Nina, the couple, the lady's in active labor, and the dad is like, we've tried everything. And I thought it was funny. I don't know if y'all picked up on this. You know, we've tried Lamaze, we've tried sex, and Nina goes, whoop.
Yeah.
Like, pushes her leg. Like, that's going to, but she, like, Nina, like, closes her legs, and Nina says, if that doesn't work, there's no need to think it will.
Oh, Nina.
She is maybe a bit of a prude.
And, like, so after this, they don't discuss what we're going to discuss later, what they want to do during live birth. But we see Billy and Mick, and I hate Billy's dress here. I like her
coat. It is so terrible.
It's so
That's
bad.
What I put too.
Yeah, and I like her coat. But I wrote too, Mick is so into Billy. Like, he loves her so much.
So much.
Okay, so it's sweet.
Like, I write my notes while I'm watching, so I'll pause the show. So I'll ask myself questions, and I'm going on, like, I'm going to town going, what happened? Why does Mick sleep downstairs? Is there an upstairs? Is there a bedroom upstairs? What's going on? And then, like, as I continue to watch, you realize he's come in late. And he probably didn't want to disturb her because he cares that she's getting a rest.
And she's going to nag him.
Yes. But Billy does give him good advice.
And Sydney, cue the record.
All right, let's see. Hopefully I've done it right. Ooh, that was an email. Hey, how exciting. I'm so popular.
It's probably feedback.
All right, here we go. It's not. It's my personal account. Mm-hmm. All right. Oop. Hold on. I thought I was doing good.
Music out there. The only thing holding you back is you. Success is just planning plus opportunity plus determination.
I love that so much. I want to quote that on my Instagram page or somewhere in life. It's so good. I'm like, Billy, look at you throwing down some advice. Listen
Billy
to yourself.
Billy give really good advice when she wants to.
But then she starts acting like his mom, I feel like. She goes from, like, good advice girlfriend to, like, calling him 15 times, are you awake? Okay, he's a grown man. He's a musician. His schedule is going to be different than yours. Get over it. Like, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I mean, but I guess, like, it's different that she's not saying, like, stop sleeping in and go get a job. She's like, work on your own music. Like, you're spending all your time all the musical time being some helping somebody else with their music, like, true. Do something for your own music because you're good. And, like, she might not be coming at it from the most, like, right. She's trying to be supportive, but she's also a naggy big sister.
Right, and I think she knows his own fear, so she's mm-hmm. trying to, like, stop that. And while she's super fearful herself of her career, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's easy to dish out advice. It's hard to take it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then we see Chris with his daughter. We meet his daughter for the first time. It's the first time we met his daughter.
No, we saw her last time.
But anyway, he's vulnerable and precious. And
he combs her hair and carries her around on his shoulders.
And she's a cute little girl.
She is very cute.
I mean, she's cute.
I still can't remember her name.
I don't know her name.
Do they ever say her name?
They do.
But I think it's super short.
I didn't put it on our list.
Yeah, like I think it's, yeah.
I did, his mother-in-law's name is Sonia.
She's not. She has a different accent than Australian.
I want to say so that she is maybe like Polish or something like that. I know that so they don't call her like grandma necessarily. They call her Babcia, which is so one of my nanny friends, her nanny family that she works for, one set of grandparents are Polish, and that's what they call is they have a Babcia and Jadek are their grandma and grandpa.
Okay.
So, like, maybe Polish, although she did ask him before if he was Czech, but that would have been his last name, not his mother-in-law's last name.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know if we know what her last name is, but and maybe
Polish.
And she could
have moved from anywhere to be with him to help.
But I wonder if a lot of people, like, immigrated, because... like, maybe there's... Who knows? If you're in Australia, tell us. Is there a big Polish community in Australia? That seems odd, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
Who knows?
I like... and Billy's headed... After that, Billy's headed to the new property, that yellow and green house. I like the exterior of that house. What's in the house? Is
poop!
It just birds?
It's poop! It's a man living in there throwing poop. It's literally a shit house.
How do you know that, though?
Because, I mean, that's... You hear him in there. He's watching her.
Yes.
She, when she goes to, like, open the door after one time, he throws poop at her. It's literally
No,
it's a man inside the house. It's just, it's full. Every room is full of poop.
Okay, so here's my question is, Darcy drops her off because she waves him away.
Yes.
Here's my problem is, he says, okay, deal with it. Where I'm in under the impression it's going to take, 10-15 minutes, and then she goes to the office, right? How is she supposed to get back to the office?
Maybe she was going to call him when she was done.
But then
maybe it's close. I don't know. I thought that.
Clearly not close enough because she stood out there calling for people to get her. But maybe he was dropping her off on the way to do his appointment. She was going to, like, because it was an unruly thing. And then he was going to come, like, she was going to let him know and everything was finished and she was going to come back.
But yet she calls him and he doesn't come back.
Well, and she calls him and he says, be nice, be firm, I trust you. But I was like, okay, that's what she needs to hear. But, like, you know, 14 scenes earlier, he was, like, doubting her ability. You know what I mean? Which,
I mean, clearly she's a tosser into the deep end and she'll figure out a way to swim.
That's true.
Like, she can't... She's not a person who can be coddled into, like...
Right. And she's not a coddler.
No, she's not.
But girls, just for our own, like, Australia travels, you know, when we get called up for season 8.
You want to go buy the poop house?
Well, yes, because it's... I wrote down 498, because there was a big 498. The address is 498 something.
Okay.
So I think we can find it. And it's a yellow and green house. Probably you can smell it. Away,
so, any Australian people out there, can you tell us where this 498 yellow
what
house
road
is?
What road is it on? Because it looks like a cool road. It reminded me of East Nashville, that, like, road and area. I thought it looked real hip.
I feel like all of Melbourne is, like, East Nashville.
Oh, cool.
According to Billy, it's only 2 streets over from Geraldine's house.
That's
but we don't know in the real actual layout of the town.
We need a map of the town for real.
We should
of the offspring
make
town.
Our own map.
Okay, so in between, like, Billy calling and the yellow house, we have the scene with the baby and the request to Nina, like, hey, by the way, we want this to be a nude birth. Yeah, and no. You mind nudity? And Nina says, me, you, everyone. We want our baby to be born in a room full of natural bodies. Like, no.
What if she wears cotton? That's a natural fiber.
Well, and I noticed that Zara, like, took her shirt off, but she never took her sports bra off.
I like that Nina calls her on that, too. She's like,
After, yeah.
Did anybody else think that when Nina, like, you know how she immediately is like, no, that's not going to be it. Like, I'm not going to do that. And then all of a sudden, like, the mom starts crying, and she's like, I only asked you for one thing. And then, like, the dad goes off, you just had your hand inside of her for 15 minutes, and she only asked you for one thing. Like, did anybody else think that that was going to be, like, a fantasy of, like, they're overreacting and that she's afraid that if she says no, that's what's going to happen? But that literally is what happens?
Yes, and that's the show. There's a lot of fantasy, so sometimes you're waiting for the other shoe to fall, like, wait. But I was like, yeah, y'all are way over dramatic because not everyone likes to get naked.
Yeah.
Megan is a doctor. Hello.
They were being weird about them.
Yeah.
Probably not true, but I just kept writing, not hygienic, not hygienic, not hygienic. But then they're in a hospital and people are naked in a hospital. So I guess it's very hygienic.
And then Nina, the whole episode is just stressed about being naked.
Yeah.
The girlfriend is just high stress. And I mean, I don't know. How is the timeline in Offspring? Is it like week to week? You know what I mean? Like, when was she locked in the elevator, we think? Oh. Like, was it yesterday or a month ago?
I think that it had to have been within the last few days.
I think so, too.
Because, like, I don't know, Jimmy and Odile are still, like, Ray is still a teeny baby. Yeah, like, true. It can't be more than, like,
we can a week or so.
I feel like we can, there's a visual immediate change as to, like, right. When there's a significant time difference, like, characters look different.
Like, that one shot of baby Ray that is a completely different baby.
Yeah.
When he's like, hey, I'm 4 months old. And like, blonde.
Wait, you were...
Yeah.
So, Nina's stressed about being naked. She runs into Chris. She's, like, grabbing Kim's arm and then has the fantasy, the short fantasy about Chris and Zara. Like,
oh, yeah.
She's in the panty and bra. Uh-huh. In the, like, sexy panty and bra, and Chris is into it.
Yeah. Also, that exchange between them was really funny. When, like, she can't stop herself from trying to start a conversation with him, even when she doesn't, one, have anything to say, and two, is already trying to have a conversation with somebody else, because she's like, oh, yeah, you know, you just started your shift. And then he tries to engage her, and she's like, oh, I have to go. I can't talk to you right now. Like, why did you say something?
She's so such in a schoolgirl crush.
Yeah.
Like, she just
and
can't
she's so in her head.
Not.
Okay, and who is Odile and Jimmy? Like, Jimmy is going shopping with Odile dress shopping?
Yes.
Okay. So they go dress shopping, but I liked it before when she's trying to talk him into it. He was like, but, you know, when she's like, hey, do you want to go dress shopping with me? He's like, but I've got this rusty new fork and I was hoping to spend the rest of the day sticking it into my eye.
And I like how Geraldine is standing there, like, while they're trying to get all sexy time. Yeah. And she's just trying to remind them that she's there. And then she digs and she... digs at Jimmy and Odile's lot. I don't know how to say Odile. Her lies.
Oh, yeah. Several people call her out on that.
Yeah, and the whole time Mama Geraldine is setting up her online profile.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Oh, Geraldine.
Yes. But
good for her, though.
Odile needs a punch in the face.
And Odile.
Am I the only person? She had that long side braid going on. I wanted to take it and make like a milkmaid braid, like all the way around and pin it.
Yes.
Like I wanted to
pin it. Too long
and
too stringy.
Yeah.
Like it was not enough hair.
I just wanted to wrap it. I was like, ooh, how many times can we wrap that around your
hair?
No,
it would have been so cute too.
Okay. So the next scene, I think, is my favorite scene in this whole episode. I love Mick and Jimmy together.
Oh my gosh. What is that crazy trivia game they play?
I don't know, but does he say hello, urology?
Yeah. Hello, urology.
And then they do, like, the bet.
Uh-huh.
And he loses. Yeah. And he has to go to the bar.
And then they forget about him. He's just there drinking and playing pool.
Oh, bless him.
And the whole time, like, I'm looking at my notes as y'all are talking, the whole time I just wrote, Nina's naked stress, Nina's naked stress, Nina's naked stress.
Oh my gosh.
Between all that, because all Nina can think about this whole episode is that she's about to have to deliver a baby naked, which, I mean, granted, I would be thinking about that too.
I mean, I would have been a hard, I'm sorry, but no. Yes. And no debating it. No.
Well, and this is when, okay, Nina has on the leather vest in these scenes, right? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm like, are we really a labor and delivery, like, doctor in a leather vest?
Because she has some very casual delivery stuff.
Well, but, like, if blood gets on a leather vest, like, you have to throw it away. Like, mm-hmm. It's not coming out.
Yeah, but she's going to change her clothes into scrubs.
That's true. But you never know. But
she's always doing, like, exams and things. Yeah. I'm like, do you want somebody's, like, legit juice, like, on your leather vest?
Mm-mm. No, you don't.
Sorry, guys. I should not have said legit juice.
I like it.
But, like, Nina's in the nurse's corner talking to Kim, and she has her, like, little visual of Nina compared to Zara.
Oh, yeah.
And Nina's the petticoat, and Zara's in her sexy matching lingerie.
Still wearing her lanyard.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's so funny.
Zara has on a lanyard, and Nina has, like, it looks like a stun gun in her hand. Like, right. What's happening?
And Nina's hair, Nina looks like the one that she just was disheveled, but yeah. She has on clothes, like, yeah. A petticoat.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
And then right after that, Kim calls Nina a chicken, and then goes further into my favorite
okay.
part of the episode, which we have queued up. It cracks me up. I was.
We hope we have it queued up.
We do. We're professionals.
I mean, we're going to hope. Oh, yeah. What?
Judy, never in the nudie, cause you think it's Rudy, and your name is Judy.
My name's not Judy.
Nina.
My name's not Judy. That's what she takes from that.
Yeah, no, totally. That's Nina in a nutshell, too. Like, they're calling her a prude. And it's funny, like, I can't believe everybody there is, like, giving Nina heck and, like, calling her. Even her mom was like, well, you are a little bit of a prude. But I'm like, y'all... The argument is, do I give birth to, like, do I deliver a baby naked or keep my clothes on? Like, not one person was like, why don't you just keep your clothes on?
Yeah.
I mean, no.
Did somebody say she lost her nudie mojo?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, because I wrote that down and I was like.
And then Nina, like, Chris asked Nina to grab lunch in the middle of her naked stress, I wrote. Because Nina, their timing is so off if they could ever get their time. I mean, she ends up going to lunch with him, mm-hmm. but she's still, like, so heavy into the naked stress. I don't even think she could enjoy it.
Yeah. Because, and then she gets interrupted.
Right, of course. And I also, we can talk about this later or now, but I love Darcy's Woodstock shirt and his jacket.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
He is so cool.
This is, like, not he's trying to be cool.
No.
Like, and he's just wearing his clothes that he's been wearing for
I feel like he probably
years.
Is cool in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
John Waters, if you're listening.
We love you.
We like to think that maybe you're listening because you comment at us.
Yeah, you
love
us.
We really love you.
We do.
So, here's what I almost brought up in the last episode is, like, Billy's style, she's very suit, mm-hmm. like, dress barn, straight lace. Yeah.
Dress barn.
Like,
she is not very,
she right. No. Very, like, overly professional.
Yes.
Whereas she works for her dad in the real estate company.
And he's super
and
cash.
He is him. His clothes, his, like, t-shirt and sports jacket and jeans or, like, comfortable pants. Like, that's her style. So why isn't she wearing her style to work at the office as well?
I don't know. If he's with clients, he did wear a suit in the last
but
episode.
But I feel like that is her style.
I feel like the business suits.
I feel like, I mean, like, when we see her dressed, like, cash, I mean, she's still pretty, like, straight-laced and, like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have said before, and I still maintain that she's overcorrecting for her wild
100%.
Youth.
100%. And I think John Waters hit the nail on the head with Nina's wardrobe.
Yes.
Like, I think that's true. Everybody in the show is over.
So, John Waters, explain.
Yeah. Tell us about Billy's style.
Tell us about Billy's style now. Yes. We'd like to hear
what is
your
take
opinion
on
that.
Because we would agree. I love him in the Woodstock shirt and jacket. Yes. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, no, that's okay. I was just going to say, Christina, I think it was you who said, I can't remember if it was on the show or when we were texting, that, or somebody said, I don't know, that Billy's style mm-hmm. was a lot like Darcy's style.
Yeah. Billy and Jimmy's style are like Darcy
yeah.
And
Nina is more like Geraldine. Mm-hmm. Although you can see some, like, maybe they're just all into vests. I don't know. But, like,
Well, it was 2010.
There was a lot of best.
The year of the best. I was into best then, too.
Best, and then she wears that, she has, like, the skirt and, like, a fitted shirt, but then she has, like, a high-waisted belt on top of all of them. Yeah. And the belt's not doing anything but providing a layer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She loves a layer.
That was really big. I used to have those belts, too.
The style. I think I still have one in my closet.
I probably do somewhere, too.
I need to get rid of it.
Oh, and, like, one of the, like, slutty girls, one in the, she had that sparkle dress, and then the high-waisted belt that doesn't do anything but...
No, it was not cute.
...create dimension.
No, yeah. It helped her burp.
Oh, I guess maybe. So. They both kind of look like they escaped a prom. Really. Oh. The other girl's dress was terrible.
It looked like a blonde girl. Yeah. So, when Darcy has the Woodstock shirt on, when we see that, I love that, and that's when they start with the whole cry it out thing, which Sydney and I both, and we're seeing it too, but...
Occupational hazard. I have so many problems with this storyline. That is an infant. An infant. I understand sleep training, but, like, they're not... They eat too often to sleep, like, fully sleep train like that. You cannot let them cry for hours. He's hungry.
No, well, and everyone's exhausted. It's not time to sleep train yet.
No. Not until they're going, you know... Like, and it also bothers me so much when, like, later... Or maybe it's... Must be, like, right after this... When she is breastfeeding him, and he's, like, obviously still nursing, and she's like, the book says you should be done, and she's just like, time's up, and she, like, unlatches him, and he starts crying immediately, like, kid's hungry.
Yeah. But,
like,
what did you say last episode? Postpartum.
Yeah.
Like,
and she's trying so hard,
and she has a terrible support system, because her support system is the proud moms, and they're all wrapped up in themselves, and don't get it, and Darcy's just an older gentleman. That is was probably not the greatest, like, paternal figure when his children were small either.
But I think he wants to, so, like,
I think he does want to be, too.
I just said, Cherie, throw that book out. Trust Darcy, he has three kids. Because, he has that quote, isn't there something in that book about sanity? And she says, no, it's all barking mad.
Yeah. Well, she has, I mean, even without postpartum, I haven't been pregnant, but I've worked with a lot of pregnant you know, brand new infant baby families. And, like, regardless of postpartum, the amount of hormones that race through your body, hormones that are caused not just by giving birth, but, like, breastfeeding. Like, I worked for a mom who had to stop breastfeeding really early. And the shifts that happen when you stop breastfeeding, too, are different. Like, every time you get a handle of them, something new comes up because something else has shifted in your body. And so, like, obviously all of that is raging. Like, she's just a little bit crazy. Like you said, she's not getting the support that and all that. And she, I think, she's doubting herself a lot. Seems like she's kind of doubting herself from the beginning.
Well, and I think Darcy is just trying to support her and go along with everything she says because he thinks that's the right thing to do because he's still like, are we in a relationship? Are we not? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I want to be there for Ray. I've screwed up with my other... Like... So they're just in a confusing state. And I feel like, you know, if she was in a good relationship, you could just be like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. But they're both trying so hard. And then Ray is a baby with a big boy name.
Do you think that this is how he was with Geraldine too? Like that he is not taking a stand because he didn't with Geraldine either? Like she had her ideas of how things like, can't you kind of see Geraldine being like a very like, domineering, I know what I'm doing, you just need to support me.
She ran the house. Yeah. Because I get the feeling he wasn't around much.
Yeah.
Like, he was around when he needed to be.
But he's probably fun dad, not like...
Oh, Disneyland like, dad.
Yeah. Party. He's party not a, like, stay up in the middle of the night. Although, like, I really think that it's showing his heart that he... I mean, he's willing to do whatever. Like, he wants to support her. He's not sure how.
Right.
And, you know, he comes out to, like... check on Ray when he's crying in the middle of the night. Like, he wants to pick him up. He's going to do something, you know, whatever it is. And, like, you know, it's... I think it was interesting to see, like, where his line is. Because he has just been, like, any... Whatever her choice, he's been supporting her. Like, in the last episode, he went and bought all the stuff from the baby store. And then as soon as he was like, oh, we don't have any food. What do you want to eat? I'm going to go to the store. Right. He had just gotten back from this massive trip. And he's like, I'm going out again. Like, he's really trying very hard to support her. And then you get... the story of him waking up alone in the car and he's like, you see, and it, I think you needed him to hit his breaking point for her to see, okay, we need to,
well, and for someone to give her permission to not have to listen to that book.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you think, while you were like talking through all that, I was wondering, do you think Darcy has always been a realtor, or do you think he had more of a rock star-y kind of fly by the seat of his pants career before settling down and establishing the real estate company? So he probably wasn't there for the kids as much as we think.
They talk about this later, like, I don't know, in a couple seasons maybe. Yeah. They talk about this because he got into the real estate business when Billy was born.
Okay.
So yeah, he did. He was like in music, he was like, you know, fun rock star, whatever. Mick. And then, yeah, I mean, he was Mick, but like a less responsible Mick, yeah. I think. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Like, Mick,
and it sounds like Geraldine has ran the house for years.
Yeah.
I mean, Geraldine has that personality. Yeah. She definitely could. But yeah, he talks because I think he's telling, like, maybe he and Jimmy have a conversation about, like, things that change and how he got into the real estate business in the first place. And that was, that is one thing that he was saying, was that he started in real estate, like not owning his own business, but started working in real estate and worked his way up to business.
And it's a very successful real estate agency.
Yeah.
Like, I think, I mean, it's a legit, like, really good business. I mean, it's clearly
supporting. He went and bought all that crap for the baby.
Yeah.
I mean, on a real estate.
Yeah.
He has his own business. He employs his daughter. Like,
I'm assuming he's paying for some of the mortgage on Geraldine's house because they're still technically married.
Oh, maybe.
I bet he's paying for it all.
And he's got his own place. He has his own place.
I really like when we get to see, we didn't in this episode, but I really like when we get to see Geraldine working.
Yeah.
Because she has that, like, artistic.
And you can tell that.
Mm-hmm. Is she an architect? Is that what she is?
She builds models for architects. So it's all the artistic side of the, you know.
Speaking of Geraldine, hello. Her posing for
trying to take selfies
for iPhoto.
Like her, like,
oh my gosh,
supermodel poses.
And she's like shaking her head.
Yes.
That's kind of how I take a selfie, poorly.
Do you just shake your head before you take the selfie?
You want to get your hair looking like natural.
Natural.
Yes.
As natural as possible.
Smiles with your eyes, just like Tyra Banks says.
Yeah. And then, like, so Nina and Chris are like, I feel like Nina and Chris are finally, like, I think it's right before, right after, like, having a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And then Billy, good Lord, calls and she goes to her. I'm like, would y'all quit being
boundaries?
Codependent boundaries. Like,
but you get the best quote about Dr. Hottie. You better jump him soon or you'll lose the moment.
But that's what was so frustrating is she runs to Billy's rescue and Billy knows exactly what she interrupted. Yeah. Like, she was like, oh, did I interrupt you with Dr. Hottie? Like, I'm like, okay, if you know that, like, why did you do it? Call someone else.
I don't think
else.
She knew it beforehand. I think she is very perceptive and she got picked up on that because Nina was like, I was having a personal lunch or, like, whatever.
Yeah. And Billy calls her a prude as well. And Nina says, I'm a doctor, not a stripper. And
yeah, it's like, I'm a prude, Billy. I'm a professional, like, doing normal things. And I'm screwed up in all the normal ways.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have to take my clothes off if I don't want to. I'm a doctor, not a stripper.
Stripper. And I wrote down Zara so wants Chris naked. I'm like, oh my Zara! Gosh. Okay, this is another.
She literally, like, tries to take his clothes off.
I know. Yeah.
She also has to see his circumcised penis in the first one.
Oh, Zara, you slut.
Yeah.
Chris Havel rings all the girls to the yard. Guys, this is my catchphrase.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we need a t-shirt.
But did you get what Billy said back to Nina when they were still at the place where we learn about how she lives close to, or that house is. So she goes, means mom's place is two streets away. Why don't you go over there? Just put your head down.
She's like, girl, you pray.
And then Nina does go over there, and it's funny because then Geraldine calls Nina uptight, and then Nina calls her a slut, like her mom. She's like, you're a slut.
Okay.
And Geraldine had that, like, it's a sad day when a woman calls another woman a slut.
I'm sure, she says, I'm sure you get the broken pieces from me like I did from my mother. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, burn.
Deep.
And again, Nurse's Corner. it gets a little crazy because Kim and Zara.
Well, and right before that, Nina says to her mom when she's making the online profile. She said, if you're going to do it, tell the truth better than anything you could make up. And I was like, man, that is so true with the Proudman family.
Not unless Jimmy creates the profile.
True. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I will say I really like what Billy comes up with at the end because it's like fun and intriguing, but like truthful. And it paints Geraldine in a very like, I think that she's been feeling a little desperate as she's like trying to do this. And all she wants is like, some like a connection. Like she's like, I'm too young to just sit at home and be single, you know? And she sees, I think incorrectly, like she thinks that like Darcy and Cherie, like she wonders if they're going to be together, like, and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, well, I should have someone too. And I think she's been feeling a little bit desperate and maybe a little bit like sad about doing it. Mm-hmm. And then Billy comes in and Billy creates like such a spin, like it's all truthful, but it sounds very like appealing and hopeful and all of that kind of stuff.
Billy's wise this episode.
She is wise.
Geraldine has always like had to hold it together for everyone else and she's mm-hmm. tired and she just wants to have a little fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and like
she deserves it.
Yeah, she totally deserves it. So I wrote down Cherie needs a Sid or Jess right after that because she's like stressed again. I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, if she just had Sydney or Jessica, to help her through, like, good Lord.
I mean, she has a Jimmy.
True. And Jimmy and Adele take Ray to the mall.
And Cherie calls out Adele.
Passing back and forth on the escalator. Oh, my gosh. That lady's face. She goes, cool, baby.
Well, and y'all know that my husband, Brad, loves a mall. So I wrote down, this is exactly what Brad would do.
Oh, my gosh. But, like, Cherie calls out Odile when she leaves.
She goes, oh, you're down with kids? Like, you're down with having a French accent?
With his friend.
And Jimmy goes, oh, burn two times.
You can't help but love Jimmy.
I love him. I forever love him. I will always love him. I need a shirt that says Team Jimmy.
Richard Davies, if you're listening, we love you. Come on our show.
So, I mean, I think all things considered, though, my takeaway with Sherry and Darcy, that they're doing the best they can. I can't call her Sherry. Cherie.
That's all right. We know you're
Darcy. Like, they're doing the best they can. And I feel like
Demi saying Sookie all
Sookie,
the time.
Yeah. Sookie. It's just a hard word.
But they're doing good. And I like that at the end they have that, like, moment where Cherie is like, hey, can we talk? And then she's, like, kind of laying out, like, this is what we should say. And we're going to be friends that have a baby and we're not going to let it like cramp the rest of our life. Like if you want to have a date, then you have a date. And if it gets weird, then we'll move out. Like, I like that they always have a very like open relationship.
They communicate very well.
Yes.
For a man and a woman that have a baby together.
Yeah.
Yes. So, wasn't Jimmy supposed to meet Mick at the pub? I mean, we see Mick talking to a picture of Julia.
Yeah, and I texted y'all this morning, here's Julia, and I'm like, I should know this. And Sydney's like, by the way, dummy.
No, you literally said that. I'm like, pretty sure it's the prime minister, but I Googled it.
Well, I kind of thought that too, but then I was like, maybe I'm thinking too much.
You could see the search, my literal search was Julia, Australia, PM.
Yeah. Talk to me, Google. That was funny. And then, like, so we're going to the live birth. Zara walks in with her sports bra, and Chris walks in and just rips his shirt off. I'm like, dude, you're working out in his
hospital. That's some abs. No wonder he brings all the girls to the yard.
I mean, he brings all the girls to the hospital.
Mm, right?
Yes.
And I loved how Jimmy, when they get home after that scene, Darcy and Cherie come home and, you know, they're like,
oh, he's afraid of
how
her.
Did you do it? And Jimmy said, I swear, Ray's feet never touch the ground.
Yeah.
I like how he just stares at his little brother.
He's just like, won't leave the room. He's just like staring into his little brother. Complete stranger's face. I was like, do they bring the wrong baby home? This is the only time, like, baby casting. I was like, oh, excuse me. Well, there's one other time.
Maybe he was busy.
But, like,
The real.
They probably hit the end of their timing. I bet the other babies are not the same babies. They're just,
unless they're twins or triplets. I haven't looked at the credits that much to see.
Okay, so quick question. Did anybody else notice this? And maybe it was just me. But did Zara change her bra because she wears a sports bra in the birthing room. But then when she approaches Chris Havel, she's wearing the fancy bra that's in Nina's fantasy.
I bet she wears the sports bra just to give birth so she's not naked. But her I think other she's bra. She's
out more than.
Yeah, her other bra was just her everyday bra.
So she has two bras?
At work, apparently. Maybe well, she planned on. They had a little time to plan it. I mean.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure, like, because, you know, it's not. They don't necessarily come in wearing, like, their stuff. So, because, you know, she wears that terrible. It's not flattering at all. She has those terrible shoes and that, like, really long, awkward skirt with her, like, smock and stuff. Her, like, midwife outfit. But I'm sure she comes in like regular clothes. So I bet she changes into like a sports bra that's comfortable for all day, but then that makes sense. Or maybe she did a sports bra because maybe she really did chicken out and that gave her a little more coverage.
Yeah. Or maybe she just can't be naked on TV. So that's how we solved it.
I don't know. But then she was just standing there real naked a lot. Yeah. She's naked a lot.
True. I loved how, after that, Billy is at Geraldine's house and she sees the profile and she says, huh, did Neens help you with that? Like, and Geraldine was standing over Billy in that, like, V-neck shirt. I was like, Geraldine has got it. Like, she has a good little figure. I mean, she looked so pretty She's beautiful, I thought. And she didn't have a lot of, like, extra clothes on. She just had a t-shirt on. I don't know what she had on the bottom, but it was, like, a deep V. And she she's such a beautiful lady anyway, but she looked so pretty there, I thought.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
So Nina walks in on Zara and Chris. Zara is trying to take Chris's clothes off, and he's like, dude, chill, slow your roll.
Yeah.
And again, I wrote with the bad timing. They have the worst timing. Oh my gosh.
Also, like, I feel like we should have a little talk with Zara about consent. Because he's clearly trying to push her away, and she's like, we can just have fun. And she's still trying to take his clothes off.
AKA, like, she's being a slut.
Well, she's being real pushy.
Yeah, and she needs to chill. They are at work.
No means no. Someone pushing you away, that also means stop being a slut. No means no. If they're not being an enthusiastic participant, that means no.
Right. Agreed.
Hands off, walk away. This is what I talk about with my 3-year-old.
I mean, it's true. You got to start him out.
If you're trying to touch somebody and they are saying no, then you need to take your hands off and walk away.
Right. No means no. Mm-hmm. Then we move on to Cherie with Darcy. She calls him from the other room, which to my husband if we're in separate rooms. Yeah. I'll be like, hey. But I like how she said, does this make you feel young? And he said, not young, but alive. Yeah. I was like, that's a good quote for a new parent because it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And then we are moving on to Mick and Billy. It's so sweet. Like, she comes in after a hard day, and he's so sweet.
Yeah.
He was like, do you want me to rub your feet? And, like, she would not chill. I get it that she gets wound up. But he was like, do you want me to rub your feet or not? And he was like, do you want me to make you some eggs with milk? And she, like, he just keeps being sweet, and she keeps being hard. And I'm like, chill.
She's still, I think she's trying to figure out where they're at in the relationship as far as, like, maturity wise.
Well, and that's when she says, you're kind, you're talented, and you're the best looking man I've ever seen, but I can't rely on you, and I don't think I admire you, and that can't be love, and if it is, there's seriously something wrong with us. I was like,
so sad, because I love
that. Was heart wrenching, and I was like, no, we're on episode 3, right? Like, we can't, no, we're together here, guys. No, not allowed.
And I think that she was like, I mean, maybe it was something he needed to hear. Like, maybe that was a hard truth of...
Well, I think she, as hard as she is, I think she does love him, but she would like him to be a man.
Yeah.
And to grow up a little. And she doesn't care if he's a musician man.
No.
But just be, like, be a responsible man. You can't sleep all day and then play other people's music at night and just have a crappy apartment. Like, just be responsible.
Yeah.
That's what she wants. And that's what I think we see with them go on and on and on. It's like, he is just your typical, like, you know, what, you know, when you think of, like, a lazy musician, that's what you think of, whether it's true or not. And then she is, you know, a businesswoman, but they love each other.
She wants him to be a successful musician. Right. Like, be a musician if that's what you love, but don't.
And it's not about money for her. I don't think it's about anything other than she wants him to follow his dreams and he's just lazy about it.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And she's exhausting, too, so.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody is keeping up with the terrible closed captioning, I have another one for this episode. Ooh. From this ding, scene, ding, which is why I'm putting it in here. So when she walks in and he asks her, are you clobbered? Do you want me to wash, to rub your feet? Like, that's what he asks her. Well, the closed captioning, he asks her, are you clubbing? Are you clubbing? Should I rub your feet? Like, I'm like,
that's a whole different.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you
clubbing? He's asking if she's like exhausted from her day. And yeah. This is like, are you like going out to like.
Are you one of those two girls at the beginning of the episode?
Right.
Like, that's what it, the closed captioning, yeah, that's what it makes it sound like. That the one of those girls has walked in and her probably holding her high heel shoes because her feet hurt. I know.
Gross.
So that's in Sydney's but closed captioning corner.
I mean,
there's the nurse's corner and then Sydney's closed captioning corner.
Sydney loves to read so much that she reads her television.
Well, I mean, hey.
Hey, whatever.
We have all these kind of corners in our.
And so, I love how much Jimmy is in love with his little brother, and he's telling Odell that at the Melbourne Wall. We got to find that, too. I wrote in all caps, the Melbourne Wall. We can find that.
Yeah. No, yeah, that'll be easy.
And then what was that quote that you love so much,
sometimes,
Christina?
Sometimes life can be so flat-out wonderful.
Yes.
And he's just in love with his baby brother, not Odell.
And, well, she does. He does comment about how he calls her a world, like a world-class girl. Or something like that.
And then we end this episode, we forgot to mention it, I think, but we do end this episode where they've told each other the truth.
Yes.
She's not speaking with an accent anymore.
Yeah. That was the last accent.
Okay.
She's officially.
Because everybody's been calling on her.
And, I mean, and the show ends with, like, Chris is, like, beat down.
Yeah.
And Nina's crying on the end of her bed. Yeah. It was a sad ending. And why is Nina crying?
I think it's because of, because she is so sad. Like, she finally put herself out there. She thought their lunch was really good. And then she walks on him and
Zara.
Because the next episode starts with her reliving it and writing that long email in, like, the middle of the night. She can't sleep and all that. Spoiler alert for the opening scene of the next episode. But, yeah, so she's, like, I think that she finally, he seemed interested in her. And she let herself believe that he was. And they had that lunch and everything. And then, obviously, she got the wrong end of the stick. And I'm like, why do people, when people go running off and someone goes running after them, why do they take three steps and stop? Because he very quickly could have caught her and explained it. But
right.
He takes two steps and she doesn't stop. So he just gives up.
Ugh, television.
No. They gotta, like, draw it out.
Yeah, no. I agree.
It's a, like, their whole thing is, like, a very slow.
I think, though, and we kind of, we don't really talk about, we try not to talk about this show during the week because we're talking about it live on the podcast, but I felt like, but we did talk about this earlier today, like, I felt like episode 2 was so exhausting with the elevator, and we were scared for Nina's life the whole time that this episode kind of let us, like, not let us down, but, like, let us off the hook easy, so it wasn't, like, stressful. I didn't think it was one of the greater episodes. It was fine.
Yeah.
But it was more of a, like, precise, not a lot of thinking
It was episode. Heavy information.
Although we had an hour of conversation here, so, clearly, we never have anything. We never have.
We talked a lot about penises and vaginas.
True.
In the beginning.
So,
but we missed out on the things that cover those.
We are talking about a doctor, a hospital. It's very appropriate.
Did you have any, like, clothes that stuck out to you or any outfits?
I mean, Nina really just had one outfit on the whole time, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I like Geraldine's. I'm liking mixed style lately and Jimmy's style. There's nothing I'm opposed to lately. I'm liking it.
Billy's sweater.
Except for Billy's dress.
Oh, the dress wasn't so much, but her coat,
purple coat
was cute.
Super
cute.
And then
cute.
Her
and
sweater.
Like,
her sweater, like, when she goes and talks to have that conversation with Mick. Like, oh, I really like that sweater.
Yeah. I laughed so hard at her. You can see through the, like, jumpsuit that she wears when she finally goes into the poop house. And she's, like, all decked out and everything.
Oh, I read
And she has her, like, dress is, like, all hyped up inside because she's wearing pants over a dress.
Oh, yeah. And I wrote in my notes, Billy goes Breaking Bad.
Yes!
Because that's totally
amazing. Oh, here's a good Australian thing that I think that we should go in. They call the, like, I mean, she basically brings her, like, what, Wellingtons or something? She calls them gum boots? Is that, like, a thing?
I don't know. It must be. We need to Google
that. We should have Googled it. Yeah. But it looked like, I mean, maybe there was something different than, like, a pair of, like, rain boots.
Well, or maybe she just keeps them in the back of the car since she's like a real estate agent and you never know literally what you're walking
into. Well,
no,
well, Nina brings them. Leaves them for her. She brought all the things that she brings.
She brings like that. Like
Nina just has a lot of stuff.
Liquid stuff. The liquid
cleaner. Yeah, she's like, here's the mask. Here's the sprayer. Here's the gum boots. Here's the, she called the jumpsuit. Here's the disinfectant. Like, clearly Billy says, go buy me all of these things and drop it off at this address.
Yeah, totally.
I've been like, walk in, do it yourself. Call a cab. Why does she never call a cab?
And why doesn't she just call someone that will legit help her? Like, I know she did call those people and they said she tried.
But she tried Mick. Mick didn't have his phone.
Isn't this a police thing, though? I mean, it's
I don't know. Is a real estate agent allowed to, like, call the police? Because it's not their property. And it would have, if the owners haven't done it. See, it sounds like the owners pawned it off on
the... Okay, we'll call the owners.
Yeah, the owners
didn't have any of that information.
The owners were the owners trying to evacuate the house. What is that term? Evict the guy that's
I think they're trying to sell it, but they can't get the renter out.
Okay.
So I guess they're trying to get like it listed before they do stuff. But that seems to like I'm not really sure.
I don't know. They should have like done an eviction notice first, because that would have at least gotten the police involved, and then. Like,
well, I think you could have called the police if there's someone living there that's not supposed to. Like, clearly, he's pooping all over the house. Like, something can be done. I think.
Unless their laws are different than ours here.
True.
Do you have any Australian realtors listening? Let us know.
Let us
email us at darcy@gmail.com.
Calling on you again. We need you. We need you. I think that's all. So, Sid, you got anything to plug? Anything you're reading?
What did I say
in
the beginning I was going to plug? I said I was going to plug something. Been an hour ago, my brain is empty. Oh, The Only Way is Essex.
Yes,
that's what I said. So it is a British reality show. You can find all the currently available. We're delayed because we don't get them right away here in the States. So we're like a season or so behind in what's actually happening.
Okay.
In Essex right now, but they've got like how there's like 13 seasons.
You've told me about this show before.
So it's all in Hulu, and it is the best way to describe it is if the old show, you know, like The Hills or like Laguna Beach, and the Jersey Shore had a British baby with no censoring. They bleeped a word once, and I was like, this must be some newfangled curse word I've never heard of.
What's it called again?
The Only Way is Essex, or they call it TOWIE for short. TOWIE.
So what if I was to look it up, what would I look up?
Hulu. Just type in. The Only Way is Essex.
Okay.
It's great. They're all super fake. Okay. Like, they have fake hair, fake tans, fake eyelashes, fake eyebrows, fake teeth, fake boobs.
I like fake.
Everything is fake, and they are ridiculous. You see a lot of really attractive men in their butts and all their other bits except the front part.
Okay.
Their front butts.
Their fronties.
Yes, their fronties. And they're all just like living these ridiculous, extravagant lives and have almost no responsibility, or they might be 22 and they're starting to run
a reality
store.
Show?
Yeah, it's just a reality show. They all live in Essex, in England, and
I feel like it's kind of scripted though.
Oh, it's definitely, course. I mean, I think all reality is, but
not ours.
No,
this show is definitely not scripted.
Clearly we're not.
You didn't know that?
But, like, it's so good. And by good, I mean it's terrible, but, like, it will make you feel better about your life.
Kind of like the Total Divas. It's so bad. We watched
that. Total Divas?
It's like the WWE. The wrestler females. On E.
I forget that Brad's really into wrestling.
Yes, don't want to plug it. But we do watch it. It's a trainer. But it's good.
Yeah, like, the whole thing is just, it's kind of a train wreck, and you'll have, like, people that you love, and people that you really hate, and then there's, I mean, it's a lot. It's great, and they are all just ridiculously extravagant and so stupid, but it's addicting, and it will make you feel better about your actual life, because you're like, well, at least my life's not a shit show like that.
Right, there you go. Christina.
I live such a boring life. Everything is still the same as last time and the time before. Still reading the same book because it's 500 pages long. And, yes. Yeah, I don't live a very fun life.
But I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, I feel like I live... I mean, sometimes our podcasting is the highlight of my week. I mean, we had a good dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm going to Disney World in 2 weeks. Officially, in 2 weeks. That's so I will be going to Disney for the very first time.
And oh, this is your first trip?
Yes.
Because you've done Harry Potter World, but not actual, like, Disney, right?
Yeah. So okay. I talked to my mom yesterday about my trip, and she's like, when are you going? And I told her. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you must be excited, but you've already been there 2 times. And I'm like, no. You promised me when I was 13 that I'd be going to Disney World. Disney World is the home of Mickey Mouse.
Right.
I went to the home of Harry Potter, which is Universal Studios. That's a magical place, as in, like, legit wands and magic. Whereas Disney World is a magical place with Tinkerbell and Pixie Dust.
Yes.
So it's 2 different places. And I was like, aren't you excited that I'm finally going to get to do my dream of going to Disney World and meeting Mickey Mouse? And she changed the subject and told me that I needed to go do something. I don't remember what it was. Some cooking thing.
That's funny.
She didn't care.
You're going to love it. It's so good.
Dole Whip. That's all I care about is Dole Whip.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Let me think about what's going on in my life. We're still watching Seinfeld. I think I said that a few weeks ago. Still plugging it. We're still plugging through it, I guess I should say. I'd never watched it before Brad had watched it, so it's good. We watched Everything Sucks. I said that last episode, but it's so good. We're like, okay, they need to do like Fuller House and do like, you know, like expedite the seasons because it's that good. Like, we want more. I've been busy, so I've not been reading as much. My boss is a reader, so she'll give me a book to read. So I keep taking the books, but I'm not reading my current books. So this is nothing to plug, but I feel like Brad and I have spent a lot of extra time, like doing house stuff. So I like to do stuff like that, painting, and that's fun for me, not so much fun for Brad. But
you can come and paint my house.
Mm-hmm. Are you allowed to paint?
I don't see why not. My landlord loves gray. I do like this gray, although my walls are gray for those of you who haven't
been in my house. But it's everywhere.
But no, I mean, I don't mind that it's everywhere. I would like to have a different shade of gray on my cabinets here.
How many shades?
I would like to go a couple shades lighter, not darker.
Would you like it to be freed?
I mean, if the paint and the process could be free, I would love that because I have no money, as I said last time, MoviePass took all of my money.
Still waiting.
I do like the gray. There's like one wall that has like a lot of purple undertone to it. I would like a different shade of gray. I'll just say that. I love gray.
Speaking of shape words, we're painting like everything white at our house. Just, I know white is boring to some people, but I like white. And like when we bought our place new, and it's like that yellow taupe that everyone houses. So I just want it to look fresh and clean. So we're just doing white. What I haven't told Brad is that white is going to make everything brighter, and he prefers like the darker, dimmer, but he's not thinking about the white in the living room is going to make it so bright and I'm going to love it. So we're not going to tell him that.
That's why my house is brown and green and red and dark orange.
See, that's what Brad would like, but no.
My favorite room is my bathroom. My half bathroom downstairs is red. I would love to have like a room of just red.
Oh, that feels so aggressive. It's
so calming to me.
Really?
It's like, I love going in there. I'll sit in there. And I'll just, like...
We started on the potty. We're ending on the potty.
Oh, I have a full circle bathroom / vagina story.
Okay.
Not a real vagina. Oh. Not a real vagina. So, a friend of mine, I won't say her name because she's embarrassed by this. So she has a house that she bought a few years ago, and her bathroom is, we all lovingly refer to it as the vagina bathroom because the whole thing, like ceiling, walls, everything is this like peachy pink color. Salmon-y pink. Everything is this color. So it doesn't have any windows or anything. So you literally like walk in and you feel like you've walked into like a vagina. It was like,
but the ceiling, everything. It's the bathroom ceiling.
Let me just tell you, I can talk for hours about the story. Whoever painted, whoever made, like redid this house before her was insane. There were hardwood floors that then they put tile on top of, that then they put carpet on top of the tile, on top of the hardwood. She is slowly but surely, doing a lot of stuff. But she's had it's been an undertaking because they were a hot mess.
Vagina for a bathroom. So started with vaginas, end with vaginas. Anything else?
I mean, Nina is a lady parts doctor.
True.
It's true. I feel like that's very topical.
I mean, it's very, yes, and it's very appropriate for the show. And we're three girls.
Yeah.
I mean, hello.
We all have vaginas. So
and I'm the prude because I don't really like talking about this subject.
Granny over there.
All right, so guys, find us on social media. We're at Proud Women Pod on all the places, really. Instagram, Twitter. That's our SoundCloud. It is our Facebook. We got iTunes. Tumblr. The Tumblr. And if you want to email us, it's theproudwomen@gmail.com.
Review us on iTunes.
Absolutely.
And we like nice reviews, please.
And the more reviews we get, the 5-star reviews we get, the more we like, I guess we're more visible in iTunes.
Yeah.
People see us. And we're trying, like, we want you to listen because we enjoy doing this, but we really want to get the word out that Offspring is such a good show. And no one in the U.S. knows about it. Everybody I talk to is like, what? And I'm like, it's such a great show. Like, it's such a great show. So we're just doing our part, guys. Yes. We're just doing our part. But I think that's all. We'll see you next week for episode 4, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Great. We're moving right along.
103. These numbers are weird to me.
I know. And I feel like with then the second season, we might start seeing some guests from the show.
Yeah. I mean, I have some friends that watch. I'm sure we could convince them to come on and talk.
Oh, totally. They're chatty. And I think we can get some actors, too. I mean, John Waters is begging.
We could Skype him in.
Oh, that'd totally, be great. Totally.
Be like, you want to, like, come to Nashville? I got a David. Crash with me.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. Hey, I got an extra room. Bring Mick. anyway, we'll see you next
week.
Talk to you later. Bring Jimmy.
Bring Jimmy.
And Nina, love you. Bye.